I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast, where we're talking all things church and leadership. And this week we have two really wonderful special guests, Joel and Emma Burton, who have pioneered a C3 congregation in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And this is their 9th birthday. Welcome, Joel and Emma.
Hey, hello. Thank you. Good to be here.
Congratulations on your 9th year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Going
back a few years, you started here like out of a burden to come here.
Mm-hmm.
So no pun intended. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you for that.
But you were mentioning to me before, Emma, that really is the foundation stone that has kept you.
Yeah.
Knowing that you were called here by God.
Yeah.
To start this church.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, we were part of a multi-site church that was planting everywhere. So it was in our psyche or church DNA to like plant somewhere. But it was funny, we were asked to come. And there was a whole list of places that it could have been on our vision list. And I said, oh, it's not KL, is it? And it was yep. And I thought, oh, no. But by 8 p.m. that night, I remember walking home and just having incredible peace.
Amazing.
And honestly, like, had to go home and Google, like, where even is it? But I just had this incredible peace. And but we have history in this city in that Joel's grandparents were here around the time of independence for about 10 years in the 50s and 60s. Their church is literally 20 minutes from where we are right now.
When you say their church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were missionaries too.
Amazing.
Wanted to be in China, but China at that time was shut. So they were stuck here. But we believe actually they were supposed to be here. They were putting seeds of prayer in the ground. And we definitely are thriving off that.
God is always doing a lot more behind our back than in front of our face, right?
Totally. Yeah.
And so you too, Emma, you also came from missionary parents.
Yeah, I was a mish kid. My dad is still a pastor to this day. A lot of my family, especially on my mom's side, were Christian for generations back. My dad was the first in his family, saved at 16, went to Bible college. And it was just the thing in that day, like if you go to Bible college, you go plant a church. So we were in West Africa, Senegal, till I was 10. And then when we came back, we worked for the missionary organization. And then dad's pastored a number of churches up till this day. So yeah, ministry life was very normal to have pastors meetings in the house and Sundays, you're there early, you leave late, you're waiting for mum and dad. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to university, got planted in a church and very quickly started working there as well. So just, it's been a theme of life, I guess.
It is amazing that your preparation for this, like a lot of people would look at this and say, wow, that's radical pioneering. You've gone from England.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cold England.
British. Cold England.
Yeah.
With all of its ancestry of Britishness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've come to Malaysia, which is very Asian.
Yeah.
And hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Humid and
spicy,
a vastly
food.
Different finance system, religious system, everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of it all, you've successfully planted an incredible church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the keys that you mentioned before was that you love it here.
Love it. Yeah.
Love it. You got to embrace the culture, I think, when you come here. We definitely didn't come with a short-term attitude. So we came saying, we're going to move for life.
Wow.
And then if God changes his mind, then we're going to move somewhere else.
Amazing.
We'll go with it. But why would you do something as if it's going to be a 2-year career blip? That's the kind of attitude we had. So, I mean, we had team members came with us for 2 years or so, and we knew that was a time frame. But for us, we wanted to immerse into it.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot, having a long-term mindset.
Yeah.
You really then study the culture of the people that you come into to serve them.
Yeah.
And you let go of some of your own wants and desires and things from home, which would become your comforts. You just say, I'm going to die to all of that and then embrace Asia.
Yeah.
bring it on. And it's been a blessing.
We've never suffered being homesick. And I think it was that mentality, like, this is life now, so you better figure it out and you better get used to it.
Right.
Because I think if you don't have that, then you pine for the bacon and the cheese and the cold weather. things that shocked us was like the sense of humor was just so different. So little things like that you don't expect, but you're like, well, this is home now. Why pine for that? So I think
British
that really
humor.
Yeah. But it's a very sweet and innocent culture here.
Yes.
Which is honestly like very beautiful. And yes. England could do with some of it probably. Yeah. But it's just a very endearing. The people here are stunning from the inside out and have been very welcoming to us. Other churches, that was a culture shock for us. Other churches like helping us out to get started, just incredible generosity and support. Right. It wasn't territorial at all, right. Anything we can do to help. So that was that was honestly a culture shock. But we feel very at home and would weep if we had to go back.
Isn't
that
amazing? Sincerely,
that's how we feel.
It's a good sign of the will of God that you love the place and the people.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a good indicator, yeah. This is what the Lord is leading us to. What steps did you take to plant the church here, Joel?
Wow. Well,
take a deep breath and jump.
It was kind of a sink or swim, I guess, approach, wasn't it? Yeah. We were just thrown out here.
Right.
You know, our pastor who sent us out did say, if it doesn't work in a year, come back.
Right.
Which we felt that freedom. We didn't feel completely dropped. We had the lifeline and the connection.
Right.
But we certainly weren't a campus as we were doing C3. You know, we were pretty much on our own. And so we definitely decided to come here, open mind, learn as much as we can.
Right.
And I think naturally we're community people. We roll in relationships. Yeah. We love hanging out. We love food. Mm-hmm. So we landed in the culture of food.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just amazing. We landed here and there's parties everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So we definitely adopted dinner parties as one of the first things we did.
Yeah.
We got an apartment which was big enough to host, you know, 40, 50 people for a dinner.
Mm.
And so every Friday night we'd have a bunch of people over. And anyone that we'd met that week, we invited them to the dinner party.
Like taxi drivers.
Taxi driver, just supermarket cashier.
Yeah.
The
neighbor in the foyer. Just,
you know, who's been in a Catholic church as a kid. Yeah, you'll do. Come along.
Yes.
And I remember we led the first person to Christ in our kitchen.
Yeah, we did.
We remember him. That day was special. You know, it was about 3 or 4 weeks after we've been here.
Amazing.
And this guy came to faith in our kitchen. It was was a precious
moment.
We had
a team of 4 people come with us, but 4 is not a lot.
No.
So I remember starting team services in our apartment. We were like, we're going to have to at least help people understand what we're trying to create.
Right.
But I mean, I remember the sound guy. I mean, we used to sound desk hilarious in our lounge room, but just so he could learn. But I remember him falling asleep because he'd worked till the late hours of the morning before. Like,
amazing.
Just team in those early days, it's just anyone who's available will help us out. And we still remember their name. We're grateful to them. But some amazing people came in those days in our lounge that are still part of our church today. Some are on the board. Some are key team leaders. They're running dinner parties. They've now got married and starting to have children and stuff. So it's been a beautiful thing to watch. But we took over a shop lot for our church building.
Huh.
Not so easy to just, you know, go buy a church location here. And so we thought, well, a shop lot, that'll be pretty safe. It's open, it's got parking, it's got food.
Mm-hmm.
A tiny thing now when we look back at it, but when you're just starting and you've got a team of 4, it felt huge.
It felt huge.
It only sat about 80 people, but, you know, nowhere for kids, just one toilet. Like, it was pretty useless when we look back at it. But at the time we were like, whoa, we've got a building.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so excited to start. But within a year that was outgrown. And so we moved to another part of the city and did that transition and in pop-up church mode, you know, we're bringing it all in, taking it all out, needing to build a really big team and get rhythm. And that was a lot of work.
It was,
And around that time as well, we started having our kids. So that added another
thing.
And I would say that season was just a season of divine connections.
Yeah.
Was,
every landlord we've ever had has been a Christian.
Really?
Who someone introduced us to someone who introduced us to this landlord.
Right.
One guy came in our living room, one of the first church guys.
Yeah.
He brought about 35 people to church.
Incredible.
So it's like you come here by faith and you're saying, God, we're going to need a team to start. Where are they? And then you meet them just as you're going about your day-to-day work and going here and there. God opens doors and we meet people and pretty much has been the story, person after person.
Yeah, well, building that team is so important right from day one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus built his team from day one.
Yeah.
Before he did one miracle, he had pretty well put his team together.
Yeah.
because he wanted them involved with him.
Yeah.
And I think the model of taking people to your house is such a great way to start church life. Most great churches started in the pastor's living room.
Yeah. Sure.
Or that I know of. And the New Testament has tons of churches in your house.
Yeah.
Kind of people.
Right.
So between house and temple, I think that's a really good model for planning a church.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planning churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section. And you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Is there anything that you wouldn't do again?
I would be more culturally prepared.
Right.
I think we have this mindset that the world is the world.
Right.
People are people and Christians are Christians.
Yeah.
But you actually planning in a different country, you face a cultural barrier and you don't really know it's there, but you only feel it when problems come up. You can feel it in the communication,
mm-hmm.
you know, right. So we come from a very high clarity culture and we're coming into an Asian context where there's a lot of stuff that's unspoken, you know, it's in the air and mm-hmm. you can't quite read it. I wish we'd known that. And thank God we've had people along the journey who've helped us say, you know, actually, when you said that, we thought you meant this, and here's how it's actually coming across. And I think you've got to be open to learn those things as you come. So
right.
part of it's probably just stepping into the culture.
Right.
And then day by day, you know, you grow into it. Like in your marriage, you kind of get nuances that you understand what the other person's saying. They don't really need to say it. And over time, as you're in the culture, I guess that happens as you start to understand who people are and what they really mean behind what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I would say that totally planning in another culture.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You can definitely read tone very wrong. Like here, people would just say, like if you ask someone about doing something, they would just say can. So to me in England, like that's pretty rude that you wouldn't say, yes, sure, I can do that, no problem. Or like, you know, you would elaborate with a few more words, but here they just say can. So in my English filter, I took that as like, they don't really want to, but feel obliged to, so they're going to do it.
Right.
But here it was like, absolutely, no problem. So it's just little things like that. I think we probably misread at the start and misunderstood. And then culturally here, people work so hard. So what we loved about it was super entrepreneurial. Everyone's got a side hustle. They're all like, they're up at night just getting some project, some dream that they've got in the pipeline. They're getting it up and running. So we loved that aspect of it, but then realized the flip side is people are very tunnel visioned on their work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to, you know, they often live at home here until they get married. And so it's very different to home where you leave for uni and you never go back home.
Totally.
And so people can be very tunnel visioned on their work and they excel at work and they do really well at it. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're not able to, those other aspects of life, they're not so developed in.
Right.
And so, you know, a 22-year-old in England would be very different to a 22-year-old here.
Right.
So career-wise, a 22-year-old here will be booming. They're up, they're climbing that ladder, they're doing really well. But whereas at home, probably not paying much attention to the work side, but mm-hmm. relationally maybe more developed or, mm-hmm. you know, other aspects of their life, the maturity levels are just very different. And that took us some time to understand. So asking people to take responsibility here to run a dinner party or to lead a team or something, they were cautious of because Asians want to get it done really well. Whereas right. the English people are like, I can't do it really well, but I'll give it a go.
Yes.
So just like, you know, understanding mm-hmm. why is there such a hesitation to take on responsibility? But yeah. then we finally worked out it's because they want to do it really well.
Yeah, they want to excel impress you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it yeah. took time for us to get that right.
It is, yeah. Understanding different cultures yeah. can really mess things up. I mean, when you look at the story of Gandhi.
Right.
In India, turning up at church in his saffron orange robe and wouldn't put on a suit.
Yeah.
And culturally, there was a big mismatch.
Yeah. Mm.
So he rejected church,
mm.
but didn't reject Jesus completely. Yeah. I mean, in his biography, he says that, but he found that the whole idea of Christians bringing their culture and trying to impose right. it on yeah. a different culture actually hurt us. And so I think doing exactly what you're saying, understanding the way people do life.
Yeah.
And trying to use that actually and becoming part of that
yeah.
rather than standing in opposition to it until it's obviously something that's
Counter
wrong.
Kingdom or, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tell us why your church has grown.
I would say community. We're in a collective culture here.
Yeah.
And people love each other. They love to hang out with each other. They love to be in relationship with each other. So our small groups would be pretty strong.
Yeah.
Really strong. Great team of leaders running the dinner parties.
Right.
And they're sizable dinner parties. So we'd have small groups, not of 10, 15, it would be 30, 40 people. And so each of these groups, I think within the church, has created such a great sense of community. You know, people just get swept up into that.
Yeah.
And we really empower them as well to do ministry.
Right.
So we don't hold ministry back just yeah. for myself and them, but we really pass that out to the dinner party leaders and let so them go and care, let them go and do the visits and
yeah.
you know, they're in people's worlds. I'd say that's yeah. a massive part of it.
Yeah. I think COVID obviously shook everything. We were closed for 19 months during COVID, couldn't have public services. It was a long time
yeah.
to be so disconnected and distant and Zoom only. But I think that time really stripped us back of, we had been so fixated on trying to get a service right, you know, yeah. everything looks right, it's straight, it's like all of the fiddly stuff, and you can really burn a team out fast obsessing over that stuff.
Yes.
And so 19 months shut with none of that to worry about, really, I mean, all that was left was people and care
yeah.
and discipleship and trying to connect with people over that distance. And so we really refashioned who we were coming uh-huh. out of COVID. And I mean, even when we could open, it was like 30 people only or 50 people.
Right.
You could only gather in small groups. So it was a very slow coming back. But people had been so starved of human contact.
Yes.
So starved of relationship that's what they hungered for.
Right.
So dinner parties just took off with no...
Boom.
I mean, we weren't mm-hmm. having to push it at all. Just because people wanted to be together.
Yeah, sure.
People desperate for it.
Yeah. yeah. And I think as well, we'd been humbled through all of the COVID time as well. I get that if you thought you're a big shot, then COVID soon taught you that you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our posture had really changed. And I think we gave a lot more permission to lead out yeah. of love rather than out of striving.
Fantastic.
And I think people fed it. I remember when we came back together, people said, just worship just feels so different. And the spirit in our worship team, completely different.
Right.
Purity in the air. We never yeah. felt that before.
And it was probably the vibes off the front row were totally different. You know what I mean? Right. They felt free yeah. to worship. They weren't uptight yeah. because we're staring
yeah,
at
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
It was. That was transformative that time, was, those years.
Yeah, really different coming back. So
one of the things I noticed in your church over the weekend was how many of your people have been through our Bible college, C3
mm-hmm.
College,
mm-hmm.
and who were
that's right.
relating. Yeah, yeah, we were.
So we've got 14 in the college right now in year one.
Okay.
And a number of us taking on year two.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real great tool
yes.
to have in a church. And it comes, I think it probably comes at a certain time, but just as you start to gather people together and you're looking to form foundations in
right.
people, the college is just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so robust.
Well, you can bring an international college
you
into
can.
Your
yeah.
church at
exactly.
any stage.
Yeah.
yeah. So we've got that tonight, 14 of us gathered together, doing
huh.
a year one study. So we'll get together every couple of weeks and do a study group and
fantastic.
Discuss scripture and pray together.
Yeah.
And
right.
so it is a discipleship tool.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And at our size, it's such a gift to us because we could never come up with that content.
Right.
It would not be sustainable for Joel and I to get all of that into
mm-hmm.
them, but doing college has made it accessible. And in a culture where they're working so hard, they're able to fit it around
yes.
their crazy schedules.
Yes.
And then they're just coming together twice a term. It's just been super palatable, like really manageable.
Yeah.
And Asians are so studious. They want to learn.
Yes.
And so they're hungry for it. They're reading all the extra material. They're doing all the extra little
not like
quizzes
those Brits.
And stuff.
Not
so
like
conscientious,
us.
But they're loving it. And we feel confident in the course too. Like they're getting good meat. This is going to really build them. And we are expecting the fruit of these guys being raised up.
Well, it's evident. You've got people running around doing stuff.
And,
and when the leaders don't empower their people and don't develop leaders and don't offer courses that will maximize the potential in their people's lives, because they are considering themselves as the ministry in the church and everybody else is just congregation members. Mm. Those churches are, if they do grow around a personality, it is inevitable that at some point it will start to fragment and fall to pieces.
Right.
Simply because no one personality can actually carry that. And that is not the way the kingdom is meant to be built.
Sure, totally.
So the development of leaders is imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the fact that you're doing it and doing it so well.
It's at the forefront of our thinking because we are not Malaysian. We don't have PR. Yeah. We don't have permanent residency here.
Right.
And we feel very confident God has us for this season.
Right.
And we don't feel like it's coming to an end or like we need to pass it on. But we're on visas. And who knows if you're going to get another one.
Right.
So when we changed the name to Saints, Joel's inspiration from Ephesians to the saints in Ephesus, you know, the heart of it is to equip the saints.
Sure.
Pass everything on, like raise other people up. You never know when we could end up pulled out.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's put it more at the front of our minds because we could think, hey, we're young, we've got years to go, like no rush. Like, but actually that has kept us on the front foot of that, of like we better raise people up because it might not be us for who knows how long. So that's helped, I think, push us.
It's amazing.
But equip the saints, And I remember people notice it when other people are baptizing people. It's not us baptizing people.
Right.
They're like, I've never seen that here. Like, what?
Isn't that awesome?
Why wouldn't you be doing it?
I love
it?
That.
But yeah,
it's fantastic. So the future of Saints in KL. I mean, it looks like you'll have to add another service soon.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. It's pretty full.
How do you see the future going, Joel?
I can imagine raising pastors. You know, we've got a pastoral heart. We love seeing other people rise up with that pastoral heart. Mm-hmm. But I would think that we're probably going to have an overflow soon. It's just a swelling of pastors who are then going to reach their limit and they're going to need to leave this place and do their next thing. And they might not all plant churches, but some of them will. Some of them have that leadership thing and they're able to be sent from here. So I definitely see this as it's a swelling that's happening right now.
Yes.
And a multiplication. And then there's going to come some kind of overflow, I would think, in the next couple of years. Mm. So we're open to whatever God wants to do next, and we're ready for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice seeing it change from just being young adults to now married couples, people with kids, parents are starting to come, grandparents. Our kids' ministry has taken, I think we looked last month on the last quarter last year, it's a 75% increase in our kids' ministry, and our church overall is about 35% increase.
Well, and we had about 10 babies born this month.
Fourth one popped out the other day.
It's a baby boom.
Yeah, it's a... So it's been nice. And I remember you prophesying over us, like the young people will bring the kids who will bring the grandparents. And
really?
You prophesied this move of like generations bringing the next generation in. So we're just starting to see it. And it's been beautiful, especially with the older guys. Like, we're like, we want your wisdom. Come in. Tell us about
life.
Beautiful. But that's been really beautiful to see that start to develop. Yeah. So we're excited to see how that. We'll be launching youth later this year. And our kids, like I said, has just really gone from strength to strength. So,
amazing. Well, congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
9 years.
Thank you.
And the next 9 are going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
You've built a foundation for 10 times growth, no doubt.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. God bless you. Look forward to talking with you again next week. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world. And our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.